Friday morning at Mountain View Christian Academy and preached a different message, but about the same man. And got to see several come to the altar and two teenage boys give their heart and life to Christ and get saved, and that was a blessing. Usually when you preach in chapel at a high school at 8 o'clock in the morning, it's like it's all uphill. They are sleepy and don't want to be there, and so for God to break through and see people get saved and come to the altar, that was a blessing. That was a blessing. Acts chapter number 4, verse number 5. Let me say, I'm grateful this morning for my wife, the pastor's wife. She comes through the door, and I appreciate all that she does. And I'm very grateful for Sister Anita, our assistant pastor's wife, and all that she does and what they mean to our hearts. And you take time, if you can, get by the table after the service and let them know how much you appreciate them, all right? You've been seated a while. Let's stand together and we'll reverence God's word as we read it together. Good to see some faces we hadn't seen in a while. Some of you have been out sick. Good to see Brother Terry back. And the service and some others. Good to see Darnell and Gail back. And please pray for Gail. She's battling some pretty serious issues. Acts chapter 4, verse number 5. If you're there, say amen. The Bible said, and it came to pass on the morrow that their rulers and elders and scribes and Annas the high priest and Caiaphas and John and Alexander and as many as were of the kindred of the high priest were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, by what power or by what name have you done this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he's made whole, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of the builders, which is become the head of the corner. Verse 12 says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. You can have a seat. Thank you for standing. I want to preach with the help of the Lord this morning on the subject, a man named Jesus. A man named Jesus. And you say, well, I've heard Jesus preached on before. Well, good. You can't hear him preached on enough. You can't hear him sing about enough. You can't hear him bragged on enough. There's nobody like Jesus. But by way of introduction, there were some tense times going on in the text for the people of Israel. They were there in Rome, and Rome was tightening her grip on this little nation. Insurrections and rebellions against Rome were growing, and a ragtag group of people were creating a stir, and they were doing so all in the name of the Lord Jesus. And in honor of this man, the Lord Jesus. It seemed that an amazing thing happened in the city of Jerusalem. Thousands of people are turning from their Jewish beliefs and they're naming the name of Christ. They're turning from what they had always been. They're turning from the religion that they had always been involved in, and they're turning to the name of the Lord Jesus. And that absolutely infuriated the hierarchy of that day. The Bible said in Acts 2:41, then they gladly received his word and were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Acts 4:4. Howbeit many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. So there on two different days you had 8,000 people get saved and leave their old life and turn from their old ways and turn from their old religion and turn to this man named Jesus. Of course, this is upsetting the leaders of the Jewish people. After the second of these events, two of the ringleaders that were preaching the gospel, Peter and John, were arrested in chapter 4, verse 3, and they were called to give an account for their action and for their radical new message that they were preaching. They fully understood where we are in the verses. To fully understand where we are in the verses, you got to go back to chapter number 3. Because in chapter number 3, Peter and John were going up into the temple to worship at the time of the evening sacrifice, about 3 p.m. And as they were passing through the beautiful gate, they met a crippled man who had been laying there so that he might beg for pennies and beg for alms from the people coming into the temple to worship. Instead of giving this man a few coins as they pass right by him, Peter takes him and takes his hand, and in the name of Jesus, Peter takes the impotent man and heals the man. Much better than a coin, much better than a pan or a can full to the brim of coins. This man would never have to ask again for a thing because he was healed by the power of the name of Jesus. When the people who knew this was the lame man seen the lame man was leaping and jumping and praising God, they gather and they inquire what's going on. And Peter and John, they seize on that opportunity and they mount the pulpit. As the crowds gather, they hear about miracles taking place. And listen, miracles is wonderful. Miracles is great. But miracles won't get you to heaven. That's why Peter didn't stop by healing an impotent man. Peter took that opportunity, and as the men gathered, Peter pointed them and preached to them about a crucified and resurrected man by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's how they were saved and born again. And so when they hear the preaching about Jesus, whom they had crucified, the hierarchy are livid. When they hear that Peter is claiming that Jesus rose from the dead, they're absolutely furious and they arrest the two preachers. But the message had already been delivered and about 5,000 men were saved by the grace of God that day. After spending a night in jail, Peter and John brought before the council to explain their actions to the council. We're told in verse 7 that this question is asked, by what power or by what name have you done this? Well, I love his answer. That was the wrong question for these men to ask this preacher. That was the wrong question to ask this Spirit-filled, Holy Ghost-filled man of God. That question flung open the door for Peter to once again rear back and preach Jesus to these hierarchy and these men that sit in high places, these Jewish leaders. It was a message about a man named Jesus. It's that same message I'm still preaching today. It's that same message that if any man has a hope of making it to heaven and missing hell, they'll have to hear the message of none other than Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. And so I want to learn, and as we listen, I want to give us a few truths this morning as our time remains. I want to say number one, found in verse 10, we're told about his personality. Jesus' personality. Acts 4:10, look again. But it be it known unto you all, and all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. His personality is written into his own name without even realizing it. Every time his name is mentioned, whether it be by cursing or by blessing, his glory is revealed. Just the mention of his name tells us much about him. This double name for our Lord, Jesus Christ, is used about 256 times in the New Testament and tells of his dual nature and his glory. Listen, the name of his humanity is Jesus. This name means Jehovah is Savior. But keep in mind, the name, this is the name, Jesus is the name of his humanity. It's the equivalent of the Old Testament name, you know it well, Joshua. You heard about Joshua in the Old Testament. It's the same name. This is the name Jesus bore while he was here on earth. It's the name that identifies him with humanity. It could be said that this is the name of his humiliation. It's the name Jesus was a very common name in those days. In fact, thousands and thousands of Jewish men had the name Jesus, but they wasn't nobody like this man. They might have had the same name, but they wasn't the same man. I'm preaching to you about one named Jesus Christ, and I'll get to the Christ part in just a moment. But that word, that name, Jesus, speaks of his humanity, a man who knew his share of sorrow and rejection. The Bible said in Isaiah 53, verse number 3, he is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid it, as it were, our face is from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. John chapter 1, verse 11, he came into his own, and his own received him not. Listen, a man who walked in poverty and loneliness. The Bible said in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter number 8, verse 20, and Jesus saith unto him, the foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. It was this name that was chosen for him by his heavenly Father. Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew 1:21. Where did the name Jesus come from? The Bible tells us, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. For he shall save his people from their sin. This was the name worn by the man who came into this world for one purpose. And that person was to go to the cross and to die for our sin. John chapter 18, verse 37, Pilate therefore said unto him, art thou a king then? Jesus answered, thou sayest that I am a king? To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. You see, God cannot die, yet men die every day. Therefore, God became a man that he might die, so that he could die for every man, woman, boy, and girl. And ain't you glad Jesus died for us? Romans chapter 5, verse 8, but God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. When we were at our worst, he was at his best. The name of Jesus is the name that thrills the soul of a believer. When you hear that name, and if you're saved, listen to me, that ain't just like hearing the name George or Henry, the name Wayne or the name Jackie or the name Wyatt or JD. Listen, When you hear the name Jesus, if you're a saved individual, if you're a child of God, there ought to be something stir up on the inside of you that identifies with Him, because He's that one who thrills our soul. It's a name at which the devils tremble. That name's a name that gains man's access to the glory of God. That's the name that moves mountains. It's that name that convicts a sinner. It's that name that opens the door of blessings of God. It's that name that is above every name. It's that name that causes sinners to bow in repentance. Yes, there is something about that name, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus. Not only do we see the humanity of His name, but we also see the honor in His name. Jesus speaks to His humanity, but Christ speaks of His honor. Christ, the name Christ means the anointed one. This name identifies Jesus as the Messiah, the one that these Jews had been looking for hundreds and hundreds and thousands of years. The name identifies as the Messiah. He is seen as the fulfillment of all the promises of the whole Old Testament. He is in Genesis, the seed of the woman. Exodus, He's found as the Passover lamb. In Leviticus, He's the high priest. In Numbers, He's the cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. In Deuteronomy, He's the prophet like unto Moses. In Joshua, He's the captain of the Lord's host. In Judges, He's the messenger of Jehovah. In Ruth, He's the kinsman redeemer. In 1 Samuel, He's the faithful priest. 2 Samuel, the tower of salvation. In 1 Kings, a greater than Solomon. In 2 Kings, the reigning king. In 1 Chronicles, He's the Ark of the Covenant. In 2 Chronicles, He's the blood on the mercy seat. In Ezra, He's the return from captivity. In Nehemiah, He's the awesome God. In Esther, He's our Mordecai. In Job, He's the risen and returning Redeemer. In Psalms, He's the King of Glory. In Proverbs, He's the friend that sticketh closer than a brother. In these Ecclesiastes, He's the giver of life and breath. In Song of Solomon, He's the altogether lovely one. In Isaiah, He's the suffering substitute. In Jeremiah, He's the Lord, our righteousness. In Lamentation, He's the people's portion. In Ezekiel, He's the river of life. In Daniel, He's the Ancient of Days. In Hosea, He's the former and latter rain. In Joel, He's the refuge for His people. In Amos, He's the rescuer of Israel. In Obadiah, He's the deliverer upon Mount Zion. In Jonah, He's the buried and risen Savior. In Micah, He's the God who pardons. In Nahum, He's our stronghold in the day of wrath. In Habakkuk, He's the anchor of our faith. In Zephaniah, He's the midst for our judgment and cleansing. In Haggai, He's the smitten shepherd. In Zechariah, He's the branch. In Malachi, He's the son of righteousness, risen with healing in His wings. Hallelujah. You go to the New Testament, in the Gospel of Matthew, He's the King of the Jews. In the Gospel of Mark, He's the servant of Jehovah. In Luke, He's the perfect Son of Man. In John, He's the perfect Son of God. In Acts, He's the ascended Lord. Romans, He's our righteousness. 1 Corinthians, He's the first fruits of the resurrection. 2 Corinthians, He's the exalted Son of God. In Galatians, He's the end of the law and our Redeemer. In Ephesians, He's the head of the church. Philippians, the name that's above every name. In Colossians, He's the preeminent one. In 1 Thessalonians, He's our returning Lord. 2 Thessalonians, He's our returning judge. In 1 Timothy, He's the mediator. 2 Timothy, He's the bestower of crowns. Titus, He's our great God and Savior. Philemon, the Father's partner. Hebrews, the mediator of the new covenant. James, the Lord of glory. First Peter, the chief cornerstone. Second Peter, the bright and morning star. First John, the propitiation for our sin. Second John, God's Son, come in the flesh. Third John, he's the truth. Jude, the believer's security. And in the book of the Revelation, he's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I'm saying he is. There's something special about that name. That's who he is in the Bible record. There's none like him anywhere. He's the anointed one. He's the honored one. He is the fulfillment of all promises, plans, and types of God. And so we're told of his personality. Then number two, we're told of his provision. Verse 10, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. I'm talking about he is our provision. He provide. Why is he our provision? I'll tell you why. Because he provided a payment that nobody else could provide. Peter reminds them of the death of this name and this name Christ. He reminds them that it was the death on the cross, the most horrible death known to man. Jesus suffered this death so that he might pay the sin debt of humanity. He did that on the cross because why? He was a sinner? No, no, no. He died on the cross not because he was a sinner, but because he was dying for the sins of the world. That means you and me. Isaiah 53:4, surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. 2 Corinthians 5:21, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. I say, what a Savior, what a Lord. When Jesus completed his mission on the cross, he was able to lift his voice and declare that he had paid the price in full. John 19:30, when Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. He suffered our penalty on the cross so that we might go free by the grace of God only through the Lord Jesus Christ. Not only is he our, he provided a payment, but he provided proof. The Bible said, then Peter declares the part of the gospel that bothered them the most. He reminded them that this same Jesus whom they had crucified had been raised from the dead by the power of God. This was a documented fact, and they could not deny the resurrection. You read Acts 1:9-11, 1 Corinthians 15:6, it tells you in detail that they knew Christ was raised. Listen to the Gospel of Matthew 28:1. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and other Mary to see the sepulchre. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was lightning, was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as a dead man. And the angel answered and said unto the women, fear ye not, for he is risen. Listen, hold on, I lost my place. Fear ye not, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come see the place where the Lord lay. Hallelujah, he ain't like all them other gods. little G-O-Ds who claim to be God. I've been to his tomb, and it's empty, Brother Jeff. I've crawled up in there. There ain't no DNA. There ain't no leftover remnants of him, because he got in there, and he lay there like he promised he would for 3 days and three nights. But thank God, up from the grave he arose, victorious over death, hell, and the grave. And he has the keys. So what's the big deal about that? Because he got up, we too, if we're in him, shall get up. I mentioned Acts chapter 1, verse 9. Listen. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked up, while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which was taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven." Thank God he came. Thank God he was born. Thank God he lived sinless. Thank God he went to the cross. Thank God he went to the tomb. He came out of the tomb. Then he ascended into heaven. But he said, hey, don't be worried. Just like you seen him go, he's coming again. Only Jesus can do that. I'm talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 15:6. After that, he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. I'm talking about the proof. He proved it, that he had the power. Beyond that, the resurrection of Jesus from the dead was proof positive that God the Father had accepted his sacrifice and payment for sin and of humanity. Acts chapter 2, verse 24, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holding of it. Psalm 16:10, for thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. I'm saying Jesus, I'll just close with that point by saying this. Revelation 1:18, Jesus said it this way, I am he that liveth and was dead, but am alive forevermore. And then finally, he provided a promise. This is point number one. This will be a series, but this is the last point, sub point. We'll close here. He provided a promise. Peter doesn't mention this in his sermon here, but the Apostle Paul does in 1 Corinthians 15:20. There Jesus called the first fruits from them, from the dead. This is a reference to the Old Testament wave offering, in which the first of the grain harvest was waved before the Lord in Exodus chapter 29. Listen, the first fruits were a picture of the fact that more was on the way. In the same manner, when Jesus arose from the dead, his resurrection was a statement that many, many more would follow. The fact of the matter is that every person who follows Jesus in salvation will follow him in his resurrection. If you die in this world and Christ is in your heart, you will raise from the dead and follow him to heaven. You have no need to fear death. Why? Because there's a man named Jesus who made a promise to us. 1 Thessalonians, and I'll close. 1 Thessalonians 4:13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not even as others which have no hope. By the way, if you're outside of Christ this morning, you have no hope but running to him by faith. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. I'm simply saying to you, there ain't nobody like Jesus. And can't nobody offer you what Jesus can. As the old black preacher said, there's going to be a great getting up morning. And that's the truth. This is what the Lord Jesus has provided for all men. He paid for our sins on the cross. He offers salvation to whosoever will. And he promised us deliverance from death and destruction at the end of our way. The great question is this morning, are you trusting Christ personally for yourself and for your sin? If not, why not? Let's stand. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray you'd take this simple, simple message, Lord, and but Lord, your message, your gospel is simple. Lord, you put it down on the bottom level, on the bottom rung, where every boy and girl, every man and woman could get to it. It's not out of reach. I pray, God, for these people here lost this morning, you, the Holy Ghost, would do your part. And God, you would call their name. God, you'd convict them of their sin, and you'd save them today. God, I beg of you, not because of me, not because of this church, but because of how wonderful and powerful you are. God, I beg of you, Lord, you'd help us that are saved, that we'd rejoice in the fact that we have knowledge of, intimate knowledge of, and a relationship with none other than Jesus Christ, our Lord. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. You've got one opportunity this morning. You may have walked in here lost and on your way to hell. I wonder, is this going to be the glad day you finally get forgiveness of your sin? God will write your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. He'll forgive you, and hell will no longer be your home. If that's you this morning, you say, preacher, I'll be honest. I don't know. If I was to die today, I'd go to heaven, but I'd like to know. Would you pray for me? If you'll slip your hand up, I won't embarrass you. I wouldn't come to you, but I want to pray for you. Say, I'm concerned enough about my soul. Would you pray for me when you pray? I want to know that I know that when I die, I'm going to heaven. Pray for me. Slip it up in Jesus' name. For every child of God, when we hear a message like this, it ought to make our hearts flip over and rejoice, and it ought to fire us up to live for him. After all he's done for us. Father, thank you for sending your only begotten Son. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for being willing to come into this old wicked world where they'd hate you and mock you and ridicule you and ultimately kill you, Lord. But you didn't come for yourself, Lord. You come for me. You came to where I was, Lord. You came for these. God, you came to seek and to save that which was lost. Thank you, Lord. You didn't stop there, but you went on a little further. God, you made it to the cross. You was crucified. Lord, you was buried, and then you beat death, hell, and the grave victorious. Then you ascended, and right now you're seated at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for me and my brothers and sisters. And I beg you, Lord, help us to fall in love with you afresh for just how good you've been to us. We'll thank you in Christ's name. We pray believing. Amen. Amen. All right. God bless you. I love you. Shake hands, and you're at liberty.